for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by another. May God add blessing to the reading of the word this morning. Let us pray. Great and wonderful God, we are thankful for these texts of old, these texts that we have no doubt heard countless times. Let them renew in our ears for the message that you have in store for each one of us today. In your name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, I got ghosted. Does anybody know what that means, ghosted? I see a few hands up. It's when you text somebody and you don't get anything back. It's like a ghost. It's like it's sort of out there in the world. This is when they don't respond or send you that little emoji back acknowledging the question that you asked or something like that. And it bothered me. And it still bothers me. And I noticed they're out there in the world. They're on social media. You can see them. They're still alive. Their phone clearly still works. But I never got a response back. So I sent another one, totally different subject, different text about something totally different, and again, I got nothing back. I got ghosted. I spent the next few days spinning my wheels, thinking and wondering, what did I do? What could I have done to hurt them to the point where they would not even text me back? I know that at times I can be bad about not responding quickly. Sometimes it's because I'm busy, or because I forget, or because I'm tired at the end of the day and I don't want to have to do one more thing. I have a lot of excuses. I will certainly give people some credit for taking some time to give them space for not getting back to me quickly. But it still bothered me. It still does, because I don't care who you are, rejection always hurts, no matter whether it's someone doing it to your face or that glowing screen next to you. It always hurts. And most of the time, as human beings, this is what we do. We hurt one another. Most of the time, I think that we do it unintentionally without thinking about it, rather than we're thinking about getting through the day our own needs rather than thinking about the other. Sometimes I think that we choose not really to look when we're crossing the street, but just hit the gas and hope for the best, hoping not to take anybody else out when we're going through life. And there are times when we know, most certainly, that what we do will hurt someone. And we make the choice anyway, knowing that we're going to have to apologize, or even worse, that we won't. I had one of those God moments in the next few days after this ghosting, and two things happened. As I spun my wheels and was trying not to dwell on it and how much I felt hurt, I heard two beautiful things. The first was an interview with Aretha Franklin. It was the Wednesday morning that she had died, a couple of weeks ago, and I was listening to NPR replaying old interviews with her. In this particular interview, recorded sometime in the 1990s, the interviewer was working her way through Aretha's song catalog. With each hit they selected, the interviewer would ask Aretha about the history of the song, the significance, what she was thinking when she was writing them, and I was truly shocked by one of the songs in particular of what I heard. It was a song, Think, came up, written in 1968. It was not at all what I thought it was about. I had always liked this song. You hear it a lot on commercials, you hear it a lot in movies, but I had always sort of dismissed it in my head, thinking it was just another song about a woman frustrated with her relationship with a man, you know, the usual breakup, get back together, those sort of things. And it wasn't that at all. She had had a fight with a childhood friend of hers, and they were having some problems. She didn't say what they were fighting about, but only shared that things weren't going well, and her friend was doing things on purpose to make her feel hurt. So we're going to actually listen to the song Think now, because Mike is not here. And so we can play Aretha Franklin in church and enjoy it. So the lyrics will be playing, so please just enjoy and think about the Think. So. Thank you. blew me away that day because it spoke to my relationship that I was having with this person and also what's happening in our culture. We have become a culture where it is acceptable to shout at the other, to mock people that are different than us, to refuse to engage in conversation with anybody that won't agree with us. We are incapable now to have civil discussions, and the norm becomes us running in our own small circles where people agree with us. We talk about it all the time, and I've heard it preached from many a pulpit. As a culture, we are becoming more and more intolerant and at times going out of our way to hurt the other rather than trying to understand the other. In many ways, it's a pretty dangerous time to live in. I heard this same struggle in this song with Aretha and her pleas to her friend, reminding her to simply think about what she's doing and what her friend's intentions are behind her actions. If only we could all stop and think about what our goals are, but how our actions affect the other and ourselves. If only we could think about what we're doing and what the purpose is. And I heard this so clearly in the text for today. Jesus is presented by the Pharisees with a woman accused of sinful behavior. The religious authorities, who have already been trying to trap and discredit this upstart preacher who had already had such a following already, this was a great opportunity to put him in one of those catch-22 situations. They brought the woman before him as well as the cut-and-dried case and asked his opinion. So why was this sort of a catch-22? Well, on the one side, he was known as the friend of tax collectors and sinners, the one who emphasized the love and forgiveness for all of God's people. If he affirmed the judgment, which was clearly rendered in the law of Moses, it would undermine his message, which the people around him had responded so gladly to. But on the other side, he was a Jew and often referred to the Hebrew scriptures as authoritative. If he didn't affirm what happened or what was said in Leviticus, he would be accused of teaching people to ignore the law of Moses and being soft on crime. They didn't seem to be a good answer for him to give. So in many ways, he almost didn't give one. He sat down on the ground and started drawing in the dirt. He ignored the questioners. This made them madder, and they became more and more shrill and demanding the answer from him, that he stand up for what he truly believed. The accusers cast themselves in a more and more unflattering light as bloodthirsty, judgmental people, which surely onlookers saw, and maybe even some accusers eventually. Finally, Jesus stood up and said, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he got back on the ground and started drawing in the dirt again. He did not so much undermine the law of Moses as he did undermine their right to judge her. When the light shines, it does not shine selectively just on those sins which have come to light, but on all the hidden inward secrets as well. We are forced to see our own sinfulness as clearly as that of those we wish to judge. John tells us that one of the accusers left the scene. They all left one by one, beginning with the elders. When Jesus looked up again, only the woman was left. He asked, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on. Do not sin again." The light does not condone her actions, but attempts to lead her to a better life. This text speaks so much to our culture today. And again, it's the most religious of the people that are casting the shame and judgment upon the other. So it's not to let ourselves off the hook as well for how we can be sinful and judgmental and use law and rules to our own convenience and point of rightness. In the text, it is the Pharisees who are condemning this woman, the most religious of the day, the ones who not only know this law, but the other laws reminding them what is right, O mortal. Even now, when I think about this story, that song comes back in my head. The voice of Aretha piercing into the depths of my mind's eye, reminding me of the grace in Christ. Freedom. Freedom. If I had any musical ability whatsoever, I might have done this moment justice. But freedom. This is what Aretha was singing about in her song and what Jesus is preaching about here. Make no mistake, it's so easy to get bogged down in the rules, to get mired in the trenches of relationship, and yet there is freedom that comes through the message of Christ. It's all about relationship and acting in love. We must indeed think about what we are trying to do to the other person. We must indeed think about what we are gaining and how we are treating the other, whether it be a boost in our own rightness, our own ego, our own position. We have to think about what's going on in our own lives, our own behavior, how we call out the other for being a certain way when we ourselves might have been hateful or judgmental or something altogether not full in keeping with our life. Returning to my ghosting story, my other aha moment came when I was running and I was listening to this song. That's what I do. I run and I think about sermons. Isn't my life fun? I was playing this song, Think, over and over again, thinking about it, and I felt that certain degree of freedom that I had done everything with this person that I felt like I could do. I had reached out. I had done what I was supposed to do. I didn't think I had treated them with judgment or hurt. I had left them out. I couldn't think of anything, and then a certain freedom came upon me of maybe what happened wasn't about me at all. Maybe it was about them too. Maybe the lack of responding doesn't reflect on me, but it speaks to something that is might be on them and something that I really can't do anything about. And yet, we always thank God for the yet too, have I acted in my life in everything with the best of intentions, with love and grace and forgiveness in all my relationships? Have I always pulled the log out of my own eye? Probably not. But can I act in love more? Have I joined in the litany of voices saying, but she has done this or he has done that, and wait for the conversation? But think. That conversation as a Christian never stops, nor should it stop. The life of a Christian is about our relationships. It never stops. To some degree, the law gives us that freedom because it removes all the rules that we have to follow, all the specifics. If the only rule at the end of the day is love, then I'm free to act and go out into the world accordingly. And there is a freedom in that. And yet, it's also a life of constant reflection and observation and searching and asking and pushing and pulling and seeking where that love is in our life and reminding us that we're never done. We never don't have to think about how we treat and interact. And maybe even Saint Aretha can remind us with this little small section. Think. To think about what you're trying to do to me, let your mind go, let yourself be free. Because you need me, and I need you. Without each other, there's nothing that neither